If you would grab a Bible and you find your way to Psalm 111. And this was an interesting week for me. Mostly uneventful, but interesting. So I tell you every time, I tell you every time I come up here and preach how precious it is to me and a blessing it is to me, and this week is no different. But sometimes it's hard to do one message at a time. I do one message and then a few weeks later I do another one, and that can be hard when they're spread out. And I prayed, and I sought God just as I always do. And I've been in the book of Revelation, and I've been looking at the Holy Spirit, and I've been considering preaching through a book of the Bible, and I've been drawn to Hebrews, and I'd love to preach from Revelation, and I'd love to preach from the book of Hebrews or on the Holy Spirit. And I was in many passages, and I was all over the place, and I was praying over and over, and I thought maybe God had something else. And the week moved on and on and on, and two realities became very clear. First, I was running out of time. And second, God controls time. And I must slow down and I must focus. And I say that for all of us. We must slow down, we must prioritize, and we must focus. Look at Psalm 111, 1 through 3 with me. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright, in the congregation, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to come together as your family, to come together as your body of Christ, Lord, and look at your word now. And I pray for you to be ever present today during this time, Lord, that your Spirit would anoint me to preach your word, Father, and that your Spirit then would seal the truths in everybody that hears, including myself, Father, that your Holy Spirit would change our lives through your word and your power today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I've listened to Pastor Buckley bring many Christ-centered, God-honoring messages over the last number of years, and we are blessed to have him as a gift of God for this body. And like anything else, when we are exposed over and over to certain things, certain ones do stand out. And when he preached through Psalm 111 a few years ago, it stood out to me. It has been part of me ever since. And if you want to listen to it, it is on our website. It's called A Panorama of His Perfections. And he preached it on 6/19/11. And I just want to say this, as long as I'm talking about the recordings, we do take the time to record each of these, reformat them, upload them, and post them. They're for you. They are the heartbeat of this local church body, and you should be hearing them. So if you miss a week, or if you are in another part of this building ministering while preaching is going on, please go to the website and listen to them. And if you can't, if you don't have access to the internet, then ask me for a CD and I'd be happy to burn one for you. And I'd like to say this also. Don't be afraid to listen to a message a second time or a third time. Okay, off the commercial. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty are his works. The title of today's message is Study and Delight in Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. So as I was praying and chasing passages, I kept coming back to two things. I kept coming back to Hebrews and to Revelation. And I understand why I kept coming back to Revelation. It is an amazing study we are in on Wednesday nights. But why Hebrews? What kept drawing me back to Hebrews? And I want to look at it together. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. This is the word of God. Long ago, at many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed to heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in him. Full of splendor and majesty are his works. The works of the Lord to be studied and delighted in are limitless. We could look at creation, including us. We could look at what has happened in creation. We could look at what is happening in creation. Or we could look at what will be happening in creation. What I'd like to do today is study Christ. The work God has done in him and through him and for Christ. And by God's grace, may we delight in him. There's so much in this passage I had to just pick out a couple of works. And these are the ones that I was drawn to this week. And Lord willing, maybe next month we'll come back and pick up the rest. So let's look at a couple of the works. However, at the same time, I really want to try today to emphasize time management in our lives. So let's begin. Verse 3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. A work of God to be studied and delighted in is the gift of his word to his creation. This reality should cause us to pause and rejoice. Because of his word, we don't have to guess about who God is. Because he has given us his word, we don't have to guess about where we came from. We don't have to guess why he created us, and we don't have to guess about our destiny. And here is where we should pause and study this work. Look back at it. Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He has spoken to us by his Son. Keep your finger here and turn back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He has spoken to us by his Son. John chapter 1, starting in verse 14, speaking of Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And now down to verse 17, where we'll see the long ago ways God spoke to us. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. And now we'll see that in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Look at it. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He, Jesus, has made him known. Jesus. Jesus came. God did not send a telegram to reveal the glory of his Son. God did not entrust prophets with the reality of grace and truth. God wanted to be known. He wanted to be known. He wanted us to know about his love for us. God wanted us to know about his mercy and his grace. God wanted us to know him and experience him. And he sent his Son. And in the word of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, we can know and experience God through faith. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in him. Full of splendor and majesty are his works. A work of God to be studied and delighted in is the gift of his word to his creation. Brothers and sisters, are we too busy to study and delight in the word of God? I do not believe that as a consistent pattern, God would have us too busy to not spend time with Him and His Word. I do not believe as a consistent pattern, God would have us too busy not to be with each other. I do not believe God would have us too busy to serve the body as He calls us. Busyness is a worldly God, and we are not to be conformed to the world. Do not multitask when it comes to spending time with God. He commands all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. We need to get alone with God. We need to get quiet before God. We need to get in the Word of Christ, study it, and delight in Him. And a word of encouragement to you. When you read God's Word, hear what He's saying to you. What I mean by that, and I want to be careful here. Don't let what others say about a passage overly influence you when you read. Now, over time, men of faith that are trophies of God's grace have been gifted by God to teach us His Word, and I thank God for them. But turn to Hebrews 1. And let me repeat my warning while you're turning there. And listen. If you personally want to study and delight in the Word of Christ, then don't let what others say about a passage overly influence you when you read it. And let me give you an example to help you understand what I mean. What does it say in the ESV for a heading before this first chapter in Hebrews? You see it? The supremacy of God? How many of you read that before we began reading the passage? It's kind of hard not to see. And I'm torn on my thinking on these headings. And sometimes I wonder that maybe each of us should have a Bible that all that's in there is the title of the book and then God's Word and nothing else. Don't get me wrong, I love my ESV, and I love the headings, and I love the chapter breaks, and I love the verse markers. I love all of that. And this passage is about the supremacy of Christ, but it is about so much more than that. We get these buzzwords in our heads, the supremacy of Christ, and Jesus Christ is supreme. But don't rush through this passage just to see the supremacy of Jesus. Don't miss the trees for the forest. Don't you ever want to just read a passage and not go in with any preconceived notions of its meaning? Don't you want to study it and meditate on it and pray over it and let God show you what He is telling you? Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in Him. Full of splendor and majesty are His works. In Hebrews chapter 1, we do see the supremacy of the Son of God. We absolutely do. But we should also see the beauty and the glory of God. We should also see the power and the majesty of God. We should see the passion and the love of God. It's all there and more. The Son of God speaks to us. All we need to do is listen. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in Him. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to study the Word of Christ and delight in Him. Let's look back at another work God did in Christ that we should study and delight in. Back to verse 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son. And here's the next work of God in Christ, whom He appointed the heir of all things. Excuse me. God has appointed the Lord Jesus Christ heir over all things. This is the supremacy of the Son of God. So we might as well move on then. Not hardly. Not me. not you. Because great are the works of the Lord, studied by all to light in him. Full of splendor and majesty are his works. God has appointed his Son heir over what? All things. Should we look at the importance to this, that this relates to us? Maybe we don't have time. Well, I'm going to turn to Romans 8. And if you've been listening to me preach over the last number of months, your Bible should probably fall open to this chapter. The Son of God is heir to all things. What does this have to do with us? Romans 8:12. And what's the heading above this passage? Heirs with Christ. Well, then we should probably not read it, because that's the point I'm trying to make. We're heirs with him. But let's read this, because we need to feel the weight of this. We need to feel the power, the love, the passion in the reality that we are in heirs with Christ. And then notice the provision at the end. Romans 8:12 through 17. This is the very word of God. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty are his works. God has appointed his Son heir over all things. Sometimes I think we get so distracted, we get so busy, we get so multitasking proficient that we never smell the roses. Are we so caught up? Am I so caught up in life, in doing and doing and doing, that we miss the blessings of God? That we miss the reality of who God is and what he has done for us? Are we so busy that we miss delighting in him? We've been in the book of Revelation for nearly a year and a half now on Wednesday nights. And some time ago, Ross asked me, what is the blessing that God promises at the beginning of the book? He promises that you are blessed if you read and heed the words of this prophecy. What is the blessing? And the answer keeps changing. Rather, it keeps getting added to. It keeps growing. And one of the recent additions of the blessing is that reading and heeding the book of Revelation, the words of God in Revelation, it gives us a deeper understanding of the rest of Scripture. We are able to see the rest of his word from a different vantage point. I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, Renee and I took a trip out west. And we went through the Badlands, and we saw Mount Rushmore, and we went through Yellowstone Park, and we saw the Grand Tetons, and then we came back up through Yellowstone, and we headed home, and we went out the Northeast Gate. And the reason I left through the Northeast Gate is because I wanted to travel through Beartooth Mountain Pass. Beartooth Mountain Pass, as my understanding, is the highest elevation pass in the United States. And I do have a couple fears. One of them is the fear of edges. I love being up high, but I hate being on an edge. Don't put me close to an edge. Well, we were on our way, we were on our way down the pass, and we found a place to pull over. And we decided to go sit on a boulder next to the edge. It was probably 3 feet from the edge to the boulder. It felt like 3 inches. And I literally got down almost crawling to that boulder, and we sat there. Some 8 or 9,000 feet up, we sat on the edge and we studied. We had a view that was nothing short of breathtaking. What we saw there, we could never see going 65 miles an hour. What we saw there, we could never have seen if we had not stopped and taken the time to study. We had a new and fresh vantage point from which we could see everything else. For me, that is the book of Revelation. Revelation is that fresh and new vantage point. And it is a huge, huge blessing to look out from Revelation into the rest of God's Word. God appointed His Son heir to all things. Let's study Jesus as heir over all things from the vantage point of Revelation. Keep your finger in Hebrews and turn to Revelation chapter 5. As Robin mentioned, there is a lot of singing going on in the Bible. In the scripture reading, we read the song of Moses that Israel sang after being delivered from Egypt. One of the amazing vantage points of Revelation that it offers to us is the worship and the new songs that are sung. Let's look at the new song being sung as the heir of all things receives his inheritance. Revelation 5, verse 1. This is John writing as he was recording what he saw in heaven. It's the word of God. Verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with 7 seals. Let's pause here. The scroll that is in the right hand of God is the title deed to the earth. The scroll that is in the right hand of God is the inheritance appointed to God the Son. It contains the righteous judgment of God upon the earth. The scroll is the manner in which God will make everything right. The scroll is giving Jesus possession of what is rightfully his. Moving on to verse 2. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. A mighty angel proclaimed, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And when the realization was that there was no one worthy, no one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth was worthy to open the scroll and to look into it, there was a reaction. We don't have to imagine what that was from John. He began to weep loudly because John knew that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. John knew that from the garden until this moment, the earth and all its creation cried out for redemption. John knew that evil ruled the earth, and in the right hand of God was the document that would make everything right. The scroll was the document that would stop unborn babies from being murdered. The document that would remove death from the earth, would cut off evil, would give us a redeemed earth and abundant peace. It would bring in the age that we have all longed for. But the scroll was the document that no one was found worthy to open. No one was worthy to open it. Death, evil, sin wins. John was overtaken by the weight of this, and he wept loudly. But there is more. There's verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went back and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. Jesus had conquered. Jesus was worthy. Jesus took the deed to his inheritance because it belonged to him. And here is the reaction, because this was the time from the beginning of the age everybody had waited for. And it is the new song, verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." God appointed his Son heir over all things. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty are his works. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to study the word of Christ and delight in him. I encourage you to study the inheritance we have in Christ and delight in him. Keep your fingers here and flip back to Hebrews with me. Keep your fingers here though. One more work through God, one more work of God through Christ, and then we'll finish up. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Hold up here now. This time we aren't going to look back at what we just read in verse 3. But I have to tell you, if you want to study and meditate and delight in Christ, then carry that passage with you in your heart for a day, or a month, or a year, or forever. The supremacy of Christ, yes, but he is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. It's amazing. Okay, here's the work of God through Christ I want to study, though. Continue in verse 3. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. God, through Christ, made purification for sins. Great are his works. Flip back to Revelation 5. And we will see that this work of God, the purification of sins through Christ, is part of the new song. In fact, it is in fact what they sing about that made Jesus worthy to take and open the scroll. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals." And now the reason, purification of sins. "For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God in every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." Turn forward a couple of chapters to chapter 14. This is the chapter we're in on Wednesday nights. God, through Christ, made purification for sins. That is a work of our God. It is a work we should study and delight in. Brothers and sisters, the work of purification is good news. But as our wise pastor often says, good news is only good if you know the bad. Let's look at some bad news. What we are going to look at in Revelation 14 is the proclamation of God through three angels about the coming judgment of God. At this point in Revelation, things are getting really, really desperate. Revelation 14, starting in verse 6. The first angel is proclaiming the gospel. Revelation 14, 6 and 7. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and sea and springs of water." Worship God. Worship the Creator. What are we worshiping? What am I worshiping? Do we worship busyness? Is busyness our God? Angel number 2, verse 8. Another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality." Babylon the Great is the harlot, the prostitute spoken of in Revelation. Babylon the Great is symbolic of false religion run by the Antichrist. Babylon the Great is symbolic of the world governmental system that is being ruled by Satan. She has made all nations drink of the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. Those who dwell on the earth are unbelievers in the book of Revelation. Those who drink this symbolic wine will be intoxicated, deceived, and seduced. They will follow the political rule. They will follow the false religion, and they will do it passionately with a hatred for God and his people. And they will do it to their demise. And heed this warning, brothers and sisters. Distraction is a tool of the evil one. If we are caught up in, and we are embracing, and we are worshiping busyness, then it is our God. And we are drinking the wine of the harlot, because I am convinced it is a major ingredient of our time. If we don't have time for God, if we don't have time for each other, if we don't have time to study and delight in Christ and enjoy our God, then may God have mercy on our souls. We need to be careful, because if we are drinking the wine of the harlot, then we are being seduced, and we might be being deceiving ourselves and following Satan all the way to drinking another wine, the wine of the wrath of God. Here's the third angel in verse 9. And another angel, a third angel, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath. He also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." This is bad news. When judgment day comes, there will be no diluting the wrath of God. When judgment day comes, there will be no diluting the anger of God. It will be poured out full strength. And anyone worshiping the beast in its image, anyone receiving the mark of the beast, anyone that is drinking the wine of the harlot will experience the wine of the wrath of God forever. There will be no elements of grace or mercy. There will be no elements of compassion blended with judgment. And there will be no hope. No hope then, but there is now. God, through Christ, made purification for sins. Great are the works of our God. His works are splendor and majesty. Turn forward even further to Revelation 19. We looked at the bad news. Now let's look at the good news. God, through Christ, made purification for sins. Brothers and sisters, let's study this work with a new song from the perspective of Revelation. And let's delight in our Savior. Let's go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19, 1 through 9. This is the word of God. After this, I heard what seemed to be a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying out, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Once more they cried out, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who is seated on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. And from the throne came a voice saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, those of you who are born again believers in Christ, do you delight in the reality of being invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb? As God's children, we should be studying God's works and delighting in him. And it was my personal conviction this week that I need to be looking at the time that he has given me. You've heard it said that time is money. Well, to me, time is just like money in this sense. Just as we tithe the first fruits of our money, just as we give money to God first and not what's left over, so too should it be with our time. God should get the first fruits of our time and not what's left over. Because just as when we give the first fruits of our money, the rest falls into place, so too it will be with our time. Give it to God first, and he will take care of the rest. Study and delight in Christ, brothers and sisters. Let's pray together. Father, great are your works. Help us to study them. Help us to delight in them, Father. Empower us to see the splendor and the majesty that your works entail, Father. Empower us to see the splendor and majesty that we have in Christ. Father, I pray that this day was not in vain. And I know that when your word goes out, it comes back to you, accomplishing exactly what you have ordained for it to accomplish. And I pray, Father, that your word comes back accomplishing much today. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the book of Revelation, the blessing of the reality of we can read what happened, even though it hasn't happened yet. Amazing. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.